This is AWLS, podcasts on wilderness medicine from the University of Utah School of Medicine.
Hi, this is Richard Ingebretson from the University of Utah School of Medicine. We're going to talk about wilderness first aid kits. This is probably the question that we're asked most is, what should we take on a first aid kit when we go into the backcountry? The answer is really very, very, very simple to this, and it never changes, and that is, it depends. There are many, many decisions that should be made on what you'd put into your own first aid kit. I think the best thing you can do in developing a first aid kit is to come up with some general guidelines that will guide you. I think probably then the first question that you have to ask yourself is, what is the activity or the sport that you're going to be engaging in the trip? For example, if you're doing a river running trip or a hiking trip or a climbing trip, the kit is going to be entirely different. You want to know how long the trip is going to be. Short trips don't need much. Long trips, of course, are going to need more. The other thing you have to ask is your first aid kit going to be the group kit, or if it's going to be just an individual kit? If it's the group kit, then it's going to be much bigger. If it's just going to be your kit, then it's going to be much smaller. And that then becomes the question is, what are going to be the diseases and the problems that you might encounter or that the group might encounter, so you know what to put into the trip? How far are you from help? If you're going on a river rafting trip and the road is right next to you and you're 10 miles from a large city, then small things would be useful, bandages. But if you're going to be 100 miles on a river rafting trip deep in a country away from any help, you're going to need different items. And you really need to know what diseases are endemic into the area that you're going to so that you can prepare for that. And also, when you go and look at the participants on the trip, you're going to need to know what diseases they have, whether they have diabetes or whether they have heart disease, they have COPD or asthma. This is going to help you know what to put into the trip so that you know what medicines and things to take. So if you're in a backpacking trip for 7 days and you're going over high mountainous terrain far from help, it's going to require a medical kit that's lightweight, contains items that can treat emergencies related to high altitude, cold, trauma, and infectious diseases that might be specific to the area, even avalanches. But a one-day river trip, as we said, near a highway, you're not going to need to take too much. There's a lot of discussion about whether you should take a pre-made medical kit. The answer to that is generally no. They're really good to throw in the back of your car, into your trunk, your glove box, because they're really good to cover cuts and scrapes and maybe some aspirin or ibuprofen for a headache. But they're not specific enough to cover a broad array of injuries. First aid kits tend to emphasize treatment, but ones you put in your own together is going to have to emphasize prevention, such as water treatment, certain gloves. And then the other thing that a first aid kit needs to do is emphasize improvisation and multiple uses. For example, duct tape can be used for a whole number of things and not just one thing. If you're aware of the medical conditions of your participants and you can know the endemic or common diseases in your area, then you can take the appropriate medicines with you. And now comes an interesting question. That is, what containers do you have to put your first aid kit in? A six-day trek over mountainous terrain will, far from cities, will require a medical kit that is lightweight and contains items that can treat emergencies and specific infectious diseases. A three-day river trip with young, healthy people can be put in a metal container. It can be heavy. It needs to be waterproof. And it can be much more substantial. You can put a lot of things in it. You need to treat things that will happen on a river trip, like abrasions, if you trip at camp or you hit your head and cut it open while you're in a rapid, or ankles and sprain injuries, and you're going to take some splints. Many commercial kits are available and carry essential supplies and equipment, but do not contain prescription medications. Making your own kit is an option and can save money. Either way, you'll need to adjust and bring items that pertain to the specific activities and for the location planned. It just isn't practical to list every item to go on every particular type of the medical kit. Some general items are helpful to have, and some specific items are general to have. But for picking up general items, for the AWLS protocol, we developed the acronym PAWS, P-A-W-S. This becomes an excellent way to remember the category of items to include in a first aid kit. P stands for prevention and procedures. A stands for analgesics, antibacterials, and antiseptics. W stands for wound care material, and S stands for survival things. So under the P, under PAWS, prevention procedures, you'd want, for prevention, you'd want gloves, sunscreen, lip balm, sunglasses, blister prevention, insect repellent, water filters, things like that. Under procedures, this is going to depend upon what your level of medical training is and understanding. Wound care materials, Steri-Strips, tape, gauze, wound care material like MedHoney or bacitracin, sutures, scissors, dental repair material like Cavit or Eugenol, blood pressure cuff, stethoscope, flashlight, syringe, things like that. Safety pins, needles, you can put tweezers in there. Under the A part of this is we have the analgesics, antibiotics, and anaphylaxis care. So for analgesics, Tylenol, aspirin, and ibuprofen are sort of the hallmarks. Ibuprofen really is the gold standard in pain medicine. Few things have ever been shown to get rid of pain as well as that. Some people can't take it, so you want to take Tylenol. If you need to take narcotics, you can get that prescription from someone who's licensed to do that, and you can carry them in your kit. Be careful with that, though, because that can create some problems. Antibiotics are always good to take, even on short trips, because someone can get a urinary tract infection or you can get a skin infection. Good antibiotics would be doxycycline, which do long skin and tick and mosquito-borne infections. You can use the fluoroquinolones like Cipro, but remember there's a guideline against those now. So you have to be careful if you're going to take Cipro. Azithromycin covers a lot of the same material, including ear, nose, throat, lung, skin, and enteric organisms. So you might be able to get by with azithromycin. In some parts of the world, of course, that's preferred. And then you probably need a good penicillin-based antibiotic like amoxicillin, clavulanic acid. They are very, very good at covering a broad range of things. So if they're penallergic, you want to maybe take some clindamycin. For anaphylaxis, you need epinephrine and histamines. You need oral steroids and like ranitidine. For wound care, you can't take enough of this. You always want to have gloves, alcohol swabs, antiseptic wipes. You need gauze, tape, and Steri-Strips with benzoin, ACE bandages, irrigation equipment. It's always good to have that. And one thing, you need antiseptic ointment. One thing, you run out of this quickly. One scrape can deplete you very, very quickly. Under S, under the PAWS protocol, survival, so you have to think kind of like of the worst-case scenario, something that could happen, map and a compass. Don't ever go deep into the backcountry without knowing how to use a map and use a compass. That's really important. You cannot rely on just sight, nor can you rely on cell phones that have GPS. They may not work. So learn how to use a map and a compass. Communication equipment, satellite phones. You also need things like space blanket and knives, and those are going to be extremely helpful. Be sure that you have a documentation material, a waterproof paper and pen so you can write things down, and make sure you look at expiration dates of the materials that you are taking with you. Another couple of comments, if you're cleaning a wound, you don't need any special liquid to clean a wound. Remember that water is very effective due to its ability to kill bacteria. People have used hydrogen peroxide, iodine, and so forth. But these really aren't effective, as effective, or much better really than water. Plain water with vigorous irrigation works just as well. Using alcohol at full strength and hydrogen peroxide at full strength can damage vital tissues. You don't want to use those. Always dilute those, hydrogen peroxide. You can use things like Hibiclens, which is a gentle cleaner, but just be able to irrigate with water. And if you're not sure of what antiseptic, you can use honey. MedHoney and other things are very effective. They've been using those since ancient Egypt. Its use faded in modern times as other antibiotics were developed, but honey's making a comeback now, and there is no a lot of resistance to honey at this time. If you have if you have diabetics with you, make sure that the insulin is kept cool. Some of the newer ones, it isn't as critical, but the regular insulin is, of course. And make sure that they have enough of it, because it's unclear how that will play out if somebody needs less or needs more. When you close a wound, there's many options that you have. And a lot of it depends upon the wound itself, how it was injured, and the dirt and things that are involved in it. And if your level of comfort is suturing, go ahead and suture. There's no data to say that suturing is better or worse and that it causes more infection. Steri-strips is really a good way to go. If you're going to use Steri-strips, you probably should get some benzoin, which is a little tacky skin glue that you can put on the side that will keep it down. And you can use, of course, duct tape or things like that to close. Skin glue is appropriate in some situations, and if it's not bleeding very much and, you know, closes sort of on its own, skin glue can be good. And remember that there's a misnomer that people think that if you close a wound, that it decreases the chances of getting infected. The truth of that is that closing a wound, it actually may get more infected. So using Steri-strips or tape and leaving it open a little bit while you're still in the backcountry may be of value. You can close a wound later. After a couple of days, it's not infected. It's probably not going to get infected. Something else that you might want to take with you is some pocket medical reference, either on paper or electronic, so that you can look at things that you may not be familiar with. Finger and toenail clippers. You want alcohol-based hand sanitizer, thermometers. A pregnancy test is useful if a lady starts to have abdominal pain. Stethoscope, pulse oximeter, things that you're familiar with. Good medications would be oxymetazoline, which is like Afrin, which is really good for nosebleeds and for breathing. You might want something for hemorrhoid or some antifungal if you're out there a long time. You need some albuterol, some sting ointment, and things like that. There's really no good specific list. If you follow general guidelines, you'll end up doing a really good first aid kit and be able to help a lot of people when you're in your backcountry trip. Well, this ends the podcast on Wilderness First Aid Kits. Again, thank you for listening.